And within mainland Greece and the Greek world, Delphi played a very important role as well, which also comes back to something we've talked about in earlier lectures. You know that we've been discussing the fact that the Greeks did not unite politically, but rather forged a common culture, which they all shared. Now, as city-states grew, there also grew problems between city-states. And in fact, the city-states were continuously at war with each other. Delphi provided one key element in this political equation of international relations. It played a mediating role between states. On occasion, it could broker peace. More particularly, it could settle disputes involving land so that ambassadors from Delphi, for example, might actually view a contested border area and give a decision as to which hill, which river, which plain belonged to this city or to that city. So this role of international mediation and authorizing colonies all contributed to the immense status of Delphi, and it played a very important role then in a world that was made up of fractured Greek city-states continuously at war with each other. This role of mediation was one that was made possible in part by the fact that Delphi was neutral. The sanctuary of Apollo was considered separate from the actual town of Delphi, which was in any case politically quite insignificant. The sanctuary was administered on a daily basis by various priestly clans with whom you negotiated to, for example, buy animals that would then be sacrificed in your behalf. And the entire sanctuary and its affairs, and particularly its wealth, its building accounts, its program of building new treasuries or of more elaborate temples, for example, these affairs were all controlled not by the people of Delphi, but rather by an international federation called the Amphictyony, a religious confederation of Greek states, both from the north and from the south. It was, in a way, the only version of the United Nations that the Greeks ever came up with. And it's interesting that it was essentially a religious body concerned with maintaining the independence of Delphi, so that unlike virtually every other sanctuary in the Greek world, Delphi was not a sanctuary controlled by the neighbouring towns or the neighbouring tribe. It was set apart, and as such, it could then serve the entire Greek community. The second great sanctuary, which underwent extraordinary changes in the 8th century, was Olympia. And in some respects, the story of what happens at Olympia is both an analogy to Delphi and also its inversion. Let me explain what I mean by this. The authority of Delphi, as we've seen, was primarily religious. The authority of Olympia was somewhat different. It was mostly associated with the great games that were held here every 4 years, the Olympic Games. These games were founded in 776 BC and they continued every 4 years for the next 1,000 years. Nevertheless, Olympia was a religious sanctuary first and foremost. If you look at a ground plan of Olympia, you'll find, yes, there is a hippodrome where chariot races were held. And yes, there are three different stadiums, one built on top of the other as the stadiums become larger and larger and as competition becomes more and more intense. But at the very heart of Olympia are not the stadiums, but rather the Temple of Zeus, or even more particularly, more correctly, the altar on which sacrifices were made to Zeus. It is a religious sanctuary. Like Delphi, it combined its religious function with an athletic function as well. Delphi also had its Panhellenic Games known as the Pythian Games. And as at Delphi, the Games of Olympia were protected by a sacred truce. So in certain respects, we have to think of the ancient Olympic Games as being utterly different from our modern version. Our modern Olympic Games are about individual athletes, but of course the Games have a very heavy nationalistic fervour associated with them. At the victory ceremony, of course, it is the flag of the nation, not the family signet ring or the banner of a particular athlete that gets lifted up. It's the national anthem which is sung. And as we know, the modern Olympics have often shown the effects of war and politics. Two Olympiads in this century were missed because of the Second World War. Two more have been seriously affected by boycotts. The ancient Olympics tried to avoid this and, in fact, were conceived differently. First of all, there was a sacred truce that was declared throughout Greece, and ambassadors from Olympia made their way around Greece declaring this sacred truce, which was designed to end all interstate warfare during the period of the festival, so that athletes could travel to Olympia and could perform in a completely neutral atmosphere and setting.